The day's biggest stories, the people behind the headlines, the conversations you won't hear anywhere else. I'm Christy Strasser. You're listening to Odyssey's On Deadline. Let's start with hard news, then we'll lighten things up. Women's rights activist Gloria Steinem has died, and a mass shooting in Minneapolis was one of the bloodiest we've had this summer. Here's more on both.
Activist, journalist, and feminist icon Gloria Steinem has died. Her foundation says she passed away at her home yesterday here in New York City. Steinem was a fierce advocate for women's causes and also co-founded Ms. Magazine, as well as several organizations. She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by former President Obama in 2013. Steinem was an active speaker for the women's movement, even in recent years.
Sometimes we must put our bodies where our beliefs are. Sometimes pressing send is not enough.
Gloria Steinem was 92 years old, and over on the Upper East Side, Steinem's death is being felt right outside her front door. Neighbors and people passing by her home stopping to remember the feminist icon.
On Gloria Steinem's block, people are stopping, looking over, and taking in the news.
Part of me feels really sad. However, I think her legacy will live on.
A bouquet now sits outside her home.
We lost somebody who had a voice for women.
Catherine lives on the same block and says Steinem has been one of her heroes.
Everybody wants take. And she gave.
Others walking by say they were shocked to hear she died.
Very sad. I can't talk.
Emotional?
Yeah.
For this neighborhood, Steinem wasn't just a national figure. She was also a familiar face.
I actually spoke to her once because she's had an amazing impact on society.
Another awful event happening in Minneapolis where we had this mass shooting in an apartment complex. Three people dead, including the shooter. Three officers injured, two who were shot. Thankfully, the good news in all that is those officers are going to be okay, and was just heartbroken to see another just awful story.
I thought, not again. 2 years and a week, Adam and I were out here when the Annunciation shooting happened, and we were covering once again a mass shooting in Minneapolis. And I thought, here we are again.
Yep.
I cannot believe this is happening was my first thought, but then of course this is happening because nothing changed after Annunciation. And we still have a gun problem in this country. We still have a mental illness problem in this country. We still have red flag laws that aren't used enough. We still have people that don't intervene or get help for themselves. And everybody is vulnerable.
Yeah, my takeaway, and again, each, sadly, it happens so often, and each situation, of course, is different, and there's still obviously a lot to know about what happened and what led to it, but all the reporting I've read was that this individual who committed this shooting, there were red flags about this guy.
Yes.
He was a menace at this apartment building he was living at. He was harassing neighbors. He showed his gun often. And my question at the top of my head is, how in the hell does a guy like this, who clearly is a violent person, who clearly is not right, how is he continue? And he was evicted from there in June.
Yes.
And I don't know what kind of process that was underway to get him out. But my question is, at what point does somebody commit crimes like that or harass neighbors like that? Is that person actually arrested and taken into custody?
And he wasn't. He was roaming the streets with a permit to carry.
Apparently,
so that is a huge problem.
Now, on to less death, but more controversy. Betting markets. Here's KYW in Philadelphia.
Kalshi markets itself as the first sports prediction market that's legal in all 50 states. New Jersey and dozens of other states say they're blatantly ignoring sports betting laws. KYW South Jersey reporter Mike Doherty tells us the states are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the case.
Sports betting is legal in New Jersey for people 21 and older, and there are some restrictions and safeguards in place to prevent fraud and abuse. New Jersey Attorney General Jennifer Davenport says dozens of states, led by both Democrats and Republicans, claim these so-called prediction markets allow users as young as 18 to place bets and are completely unaccountable. They want the U.S. Supreme Court to take the case.
And for someone to advertise itself as the first app for legal sports betting in all 50 states, but then not follow any gaming laws in any of the states, is completely absurd.
Davenport says this also puts legitimate sports betting platforms like DraftKings and FanDuel at a competitive disadvantage because they actually follow the laws. Kalshi says it's under the jurisdiction of congressional CFTC laws, which govern financial markets, and not individual state laws for sports betting.
Here's more on prediction markets from Dave Cohen in New Orleans.
Can you really bet on just about anything these days? A teleprompter operator who worked for President Donald Trump was in negotiations with regulators over a settlement after he was allegedly caught placing bets on Kalshi for what the president would or would not say in given speeches. From that, we found out you can bet on things like what the high temperature or low temperature in a given city might be on any given day, and really a myriad and variety of all other things on Kalshi. So I wanted to know, how does this work, and how much money are people losing placing bets on crazy stuff on Kalshi? To help us understand it, we invited a regulatory wonk turned academic to join us, as he describes himself, Dave Wary, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Virginia Tech. Can we really bet on just about anything these days?
Yes, it's as simple as that. It's been made possible. It's an idea, you know, that is actually quite old. I mean, for well over 100 years, people have been dreaming about this, and people have been running informal betting markets. I mean, this is in some ways as old as humanity, but now we have the technology and the institutional setup where we can literally just bet on anything and have other people join us. I mean, that's the whole point, right? If I bet on something that nobody else is interested in betting on, then we don't have much of a deal. But now we can invite others to join us.
This seems, on one level, very dangerous to me, allowing anybody to bet on anything, pretty much, what someone's going to say, what someone's going to do, what colors team's going to wear, what the temperature's going to be on a given day, and just some of the other, what are some of the other crazy things I could go place a bet on Kalshi right now on?
You know, if we had access to the information of King Charles's underwear, we could probably have a bet on that, too, what he wears on Wednesdays.
I guess we need someone to confirm that for us, but okay.
Well, there you are.
And people are doing this. I mean, we're talking, this is big business, right?
This is increasingly big. There really is a question of how we should think about these things. Now, in America, we've decided that this is actually securities betting, as it were.
So it's kind of like buying stock. It's kind of like this along the same lines.
Oh, very much so. That's how the regulators are viewing this. Now, to be able to pull on the things that we've seen from Maduro in the Venezuela trade to this teleprompter trade, it is extremely difficult in regular financial markets to have that much of insider knowledge to pull it off successfully. Although, even with stocks and this and the other, we've seen it happening, but we're now opening up that frontier to a whole host of temptations. Even at the Federal Reserve, people think that maybe the benefits outweigh the costs.
In what respect?
What they now have is access to what you and I think about economic events or other events that might yield important information about the future.
Not so important, though, like what color outfit a certain celebrity may wear to a certain event.
So people are currently on arguing that the overall societal benefits outweigh the costs. And some of the costs are quite heavy, of course, too, for example, individuals who get terribly addicted to this.
What will the top show on Netflix be this week? What will the Rotten Tomatoes score be for the movie The Odyssey? And who's going to win Big Brother? Those are the three top things people are betting on right now on Kalshi. According to the financial research firm Sacra, Kalshi brings in on any given day between $5.5 and $9.5 million that it wins from people placing wagers. The house wins, folks. Remember that.
We told you we'd end with something fun, so meet the fish that lives hundreds of years and hear about long-awaited Purple Hearts finally delivered.
Neil Godbey with the Department of Natural Resource. And tell me about the sturgeon. They can live a long life and get pretty large, right?
Yes, they can. These fish that we're stocking, 3 to 4 month old. They can live to be hundreds of years old. A recent study showed that females can live over 300-400 years old, I believe. So, and they can reach 6 feet long or bigger.
How much can they weigh?
Oh, here, over 100 pounds. Some areas they can be over 150, but over in Wisconsin, I know they get them back that big, but they can get fairly good size.
Are they a good eating fish?
From what I've heard, yes.
Following case reviews by Senator Tina Smith's office, retired Lieutenant Colonel James Mosher was awarded a Purple Heart for a traumatic brain injury sustained in a 2009 explosion in Afghanistan.
After 17 years, getting this award is best described as humbling. I'm among the lucky few that live to tell the story.
And retired Sergeant First Class Amity Marver received 2 Purple Hearts, one for a 2007 roadside bomb and for a 2020 rocket attack in Iraq.
I think I earned the right to say, if anything tries to blow me up, they have to get in line.
Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Odyssey's On Deadline. Subscribe to the daily podcast on your favorite platform.